How y'all doing? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this good day, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to help me. Lord, forgive me for my sins. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to look in Ecclesiastes. You know, there's a reason for everything. I cut my fingers off about 28 years ago on my left hand. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. God is, His wisdom is infinite. You know, there's so many things working together. But a couple weeks ago, my cousin cut his fingers off the same hand. And I went to see him. And when I walked in, he just started crying. You know, it's a purpose for everything. Bible says in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. You know, there's a time for everything. And you know, everything has a purpose. I've been getting a little bit further away from God for a while. A whole lot of things going right for me. And last week I got mad, like I used to get mad. You know, it just, everybody around me was against me. I could just feel it. And I learned this years ago, sometimes God is He's doing a work in us. We're thinking about our work, but there's an important work going on here, and it's God's work. And He knows what He's doing, and He's headed somewhere. And with some of us, He ain't going to get there. That's the bottom line. But if you fail a test, He'll just give it to you again. He's got all the time in the world. We don't, but He does. It says here in 1 Peter, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Last week I was doing evil. You know, whenever you get angry, you're in the wrong place. You forgot what it's all about. And, you know, I felt that animosity from the world. I mean, you can just feel it. Whenever you get in the wrong place, you can feel it. Listen, in Job it says, "Ask the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach you, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" You know, there's somebody here that knows what he's doing. And last week, Brother Grant preached a sermon about, you know, the people in the Bible that God was with. And, you know, there's so many stories. And about the middle of the sermon, he said, you know, that's the way he is with all of us. We're in the same book. If we're saved, then just like with Joseph, just like with David, just like every one of us. And I know that, but it just kind of struck me last week when he said it. You know, if you sit and read the story of Joseph, that poor boy went through, I mean, I can't imagine what he went through whenever his own family kicked him out and sold him. And he got chained up and sent off to be a slave. But you know, God was working with that boy. And he was making something great out of him. He was making a picture of Jesus out of him. And that's what he's doing with us. Amen. And the thing about it is, Jesus, he goes to these people and they got it all figured out. And he tells them a story about a man that fared sumptuously every day. And he wound up in hell. There was no poor in spirit for that man. There was none of that Holy Spirit showing him who he was and what he needed to learn. The man just lived good. He got his portion out of this life. And I think all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, that's what we're trying to get. Our portion out of this life. But God wants to give us so much more than that. But we got to be mindful of what He's doing more than what we're doing. Because, you know, last week He taught me something. But how many weeks go by that He don't teach me nothing because I'm not looking at His hand? You know, one of the things that struck me in the Bible about as much as anything in it is in Ecclesiastes. And I can't remember. Let me think here. It says, not sure which page it's on here. It's about rejoicing in the day of prosperity. And in the day of adversity, consider. You know, used to be if I was prosperous, I worried about what might happen tomorrow to take it away from me. You know, it's amazing how we worry. Jesus told us not to worry. Yeah. It's a waste of time, He said. He said it don't do you any good. But the truth is that the devil is always trying to ruin what's going on. In the day of prosperity, here it is, chapter 7, verse 14. Be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. There's nothing we can't figure out what God's doing. But He has put eternity in our hearts. We know that there's something more than this. Amen. And the point of it is that I go through my life and good things happen and I rejoice, and bad things happen and I get unhappy. And you know, the rich man rejoiced whenever he rejoiced in his life, I'm sure. I hope so. And the beggar, he had a rough life. But the truth is, the beggar was the son of a king, and he was going to heaven. And he had very little trouble on this earth compared to what he's going to. But the trouble was for a purpose. And the thing is, it's like in Job where it says all the beasts. I mean, I just picture Adam and Eve. They're walking through the garden and Adam's naming these animals, you know, and the rabbit's just sitting there eating with his little teeth. Anybody ever watch a rabbit eat? Talking about a relaxed animal. And then he hops off with his little tail behind him. Squirrels running up the trees. You know, that was their gift from God, is what it was. You know, one of my favorite verses in Ecclesiastes is after it says there's a purpose for everything, it says, I know there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You know, this life we have, it's just a gift. And God is, He's weaving into our life people. And it amazes me how proud and how resistant that Montgomery's are to advice. But I want to tell y'all something. When somebody gives you advice on this earth, God put them there. Even if it's bad advice, there's something to learn. Uncle Dwight told me, he said, you can learn something from a fool. You know, you can learn a lot from a fool, he said. The truth is, the Bible says a fool is an atheist, but there's something you can learn from anybody if you'll just open your ears. Yeah. And there's something you can learn from smashing your thumb. I mean, it don't matter what happens. There's something to learn there. But the thing that we miss, the thing that I miss, I guess I was just born negative. But the thing that I miss is the goodness of the one that's put that stuff in our life. I mean, there's pictures in here of Jesus. And I want to read y'all one of them. See, Boaz was a mighty redeemer, okay? And you know, if you look at Solomon, the Bible says that Queen of Sheba went to him and she told him all that was in her heart. That's what God wants us to do. She went and she asked him all these hard questions. That's what God wants us to do. And then the Bible says that he gave to her out of his royal bounty. That's who we're dealing with. We ain't dealing with somebody that can give us $150 or a new truck or a new house or a new farm or a new continent. No, we're dealing with God here. He gives out of his royal bounty. That's amazing. Now, if you read Boaz, if you just listen to the way this man talks, see where I want to find this at. Boaz is he's not Jesus, but he's a picture of what Jesus is like. And I like the way it says it's her hap that she winds up in his field. And you know, she just did happen to wind up in his field, but God's hand is in all this. Just like it is in our hand. We don't just wind up in somebody's field. Yesterday I was thinking about this sermon and my truck said 0 miles to empty. And I'm in Lexington in traffic. And I went to this gas station and it was a gas station. And I need diesel. So I asked them where to get diesel. And I drive down through 63 lights. I mean, you know, just sitting there, trucks running. And I'm just waiting on it to go kunk. You know, running out of diesel is a stupid thing. So I get to a diesel station. They was out. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I go in and I talk to the guy about it. I'm like, are you sure you're out? He goes, oh, no, we're not out. He said, it's broke. But they say if anything bad happens, it'll just keep running until it runs out. I'm thinking, that's what I need. I need something to fill this thing up. Anyway, he tells me where the next one is. And I get out there and I go to the next one and they had diesel. But you know, I had a lot of stress over that. And I'm thinking, why do you got stress? If you run out of gas, you see, it's all been planned from the time of, from thousands of years ago. And there might be, there's something in this. I'm going to meet somebody. There's something here that's going to happen for me running out of fuel. And it's going to be good. And I'm thinking that. And the whole time, I'm just a nervous wreck. And I'm going to tell y'all why I was a nervous wreck. It's because it's a fool that has a thing that shows him he's got 50 miles to empty that runs out of fuel. I don't care how many stations he's been to. I had an hour to do that. But I told Timmy, I said, I'm not getting out in this cold and getting fuel till we get done with this and this. Because, I mean, I knew I had plenty of time because there's gas stations all over the place. And that's why I was so tore up about it. Because anybody that sees me out of gas in the middle of Lexington knows I'm a fool. That's the bottom line. I was worried about how I was looking here. And that's what we do. And I want to tell y'all something. Each and every one of us are idiots at some time or another every day. And God knows that. He knew that before He made us. And He still wants to work with us. I want you to see what kind of God we got here just looking at Boaz. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she just said unto her, go, my daughter. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. She wound up round her family. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. I love that. He didn't say, you boys got them gates done? Y'all gonna get that thing done today? He said, the Lord be with you. It's good stuff. You know, those were workers. And he was a mighty... this guy had a lot of money. That's a good picture of God, you know? And they answered him and said, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "Is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab?" And she said, "I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued even from morning until now, and she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from here, but abide here fast by my maidens." God wants us to stay close to Him and close to His people. "Let your eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art thirsty, go unto the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn." And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, being a stranger?" Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has been fully showed unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of your husband. And now thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore." See, we have to leave our old ways to come to God. We have to turn our back. Jesus said, "He that denies himself," He said, "the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And see, that is our job, is to trust God wherever, whatever, however. We got to trust Him. And there'll be a full reward given to us. Jesus made that plain. Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. For thou hast spoken kindly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one unto one of thy handmaids." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime, come in here and eat of the bread, and dip your morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." You know, that little thing right there it's always got me, because that's the God that I serve. The handfuls that He drops in front of us, we got to be in a place where we see them. We got to see whose hand they're coming from. Amen. We got to know that this come from God. We wasn't really all that smart. We didn't get it all figured out and get ourselves on top of the heap. The truth is, He's out there putting hands full in the front of the birds, in front of the mice, in front of the worms, in front of the people. But we are His finest masterpiece. And He wants us to stick close by Him. And you know what? He wants to take care of us. And He wants to do a work in us to change our hearts from stone to something beautiful. You know, it's the only thing that we got to do is look in our hearts. The Bible says, guard them with all diligence. We got to look in here and see, what is it do we really want? We have a perfect Father, and He wants us to have what we want, but He wants us to want what we need. He wants us to want what's good and not what's evil. He wants us to choose the sweet. You know, it's amazing. When you look in this book, the Bible, it tells these people's hearts. That young woman, she wanted to be with God, and she wanted to be with a woman of God. She didn't want to go back to that world where those people were worshiping vain and stupid things that couldn't see or talk or hear. She wanted to be. She said, "I'm staying with you till I'm dead." She made a commitment to God and to that woman. She wanted to have a good life. That's what she wanted. She wanted to have a good life that lasted forever. Now, God wants us to want that. If we want it, He's going to make sure we get it. That's the bottom line. It's not about Him pushing nothing on us. It's about Him weaving in our lives and teaching us. The Bible teaches us about about growing in knowledge of Jesus. When we grow in knowledge to Him and we see His hand in our life everywhere, the people, the jobs, the illnesses, the food, the cold, the hot, everything. Everything that happens, God is so into details that every snowflake is different. I cannot believe that. The scientist will tell you there's not two snowflakes alike. Has anybody got any idea how many snowflakes is in a bowl of snow cream? There ain't no way to wrap your head around it. That's the God that we serve. And He is in our lives, just like Brother Grant said, He was in David's life and Joseph's life and Abraham's life. If we're saved, some of the things don't work out for our good, y'all. It's all of them. Every single one of them. We got to remember that. Because if we don't remember that there's something big going on in our life, that there's a transformation going on that's big, then we can't influence people. If we're just out here... Jesus walked around on this earth and He talked about His Father in heaven and the kingdom of heaven. And He talked about mansions and He talked about another world because He wasn't from here and He wasn't going to stay here. And He wants us to walk around with that same confidence. And the only way we can do it, you see, with me, it's about what I get done. And really what life is about, it's about not about what you do, but who you do it with. That's the only thing. I know I've said that before, but you know what? If you're doing it with God, folks got this new foster kid, and he cracks me up. He's 4 years old, and I don't know who he's been around, but he ain't been around a community like this. And he gets in the truck with me, and I go down the road, and he goes, "Who lives there?" And I tell him how many kids they got. Who lives there? And I tell him. How do you know their names? I said, I live here. I go on down the road. I drive to Langster. I pull up and I'm talking to someone. How do you know his name? And I go over to the next place and I pull up and I say, how do they know your name? And he's looking, he's going, wow. He can't believe the people that I know and the places I just drive on to. I just drive off right onto somebody's farm. He's like, what are we doing here? Do you got cows here too? And he's just blown away. He's 4 years old. He's never been around anybody that knows people all around them and has fellowship with them. You know what? That's the way we should live. Just like that. Just blowed away. God did that too. He did. He put me here. I mean, he put that guy in my... Wow. I mean, that's the way we should live. Right there. And that's the God that we serve. He's so much bigger that we ought to feel like a four-year-old. Jesus said you got to come like a little child. We are little children when we compare ourselves to the glory of God. And it's been good for me to be around that kid because, you know, the difference in what I know and what I see and what he knows and what he sees, it just gives me a little glimpse. But there is no way on this earth that we can even imagine the weaving that God has done in our life. And if we don't stay in this book and stay in the conversation with God, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. God wants us to talk to Him about everything in our life. Everything in our life, He put it there. And it's for a purpose. And it's to make us better. And if we don't want to get better, He'll just put it in there again. I mean... He's got all the time in the world. It's like training the dog. You know what? You don't come back, I'm going to jerk your neck again. Go on. If you don't come back, I'm jerking your neck again. And just keep going. I mean, we got all day long. We got all night, forever. You don't learn to come back, you're going to stay on this thing. Because I ain't going to let you run out in the street. And that's the way God is. But He does it. He does it in such a personal way with everybody. Because all of us are special to Him. And I love the way that you take the people that had the hardest life, like Daniel, and he prays to God. He just wants to find God. And he's like, oh, Daniel, sends an angel to tell him he's beloved. Isn't that awesome? And there's a man in there that's probably in hell right now. He come running up to Jesus and he thought he was too important to get to heaven. He was. But the Bible says Jesus loved him. He looked at him, loved him. You know, that's the God. I mean, he's out there he's just looking to show us that he's mighty, but he's still working with us. Amen. And I want you to know, it don't make no difference what's happening in your life. He's in it. And if it's horrible, he's in it. And if it's wonderful, he's in it. And he wants us to go through this life realizing, just like Adam and Eve, we're walking through a garden and the only thing messed up, and it's what we messed up. And he's going to fix it. And it's going to be a garden like we can't imagine. There's going to be a new earth. But he wants us to desire to see that new earth more than we desire to get something on this earth. Amen. And that's where I have my problem, and I know it's the human condition. We got to focus on where we're going more than where we're at, because this is a temporary situation. And I watch it, and it's crazy to me where I am in my life, because I was watching my grandparents not long ago. They made it into their 90s. And then I'm watching my dad. And now I'm looking in the mirror and I'm seeing him, you know. It's amazing how quick the generations just turn over and turn over. And I'm seeing these people. And they're older. They're my age and older. And they're getting struck with stuff that's rough. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, God's trying to do some work with these people. He wants to take them as far as He can take them. He wants to make a masterpiece, and He's running out of time. And they're just thinking, oh, I've got a horrible affliction. No. No, you don't have a horrible affliction. The rich man had the horrible affliction. Amen. He had it. That's a horrible affliction right there. A man that God is not working with. So, you know, if he's working on you hard, maybe you ain't responding quick enough. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you're saved, He's got work to do, and He's going to do His work. We might not get ours done. I don't know what it's going to be like when we get to the other side, but I will guarantee you that we're going to look back and say, man, I wish I'd have listened the first 3,700 times. He taught me something when I was 30 years old. I knew it. It was just like my daddy come and said, son, blam, do this. Don't do this. 12 years later, I finally got it. And I knew it when he told me. It's crazy how slow we are in responding to the voice of God. Amen. You know, it don't make no difference what you want. It matters what he wants, because he's working on something permanent. He's working on something worthwhile. He's not working on something that's going to get sold the second you die, or somebody else is going to get it. I appreciate y'all coming out tonight.